Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
So, I mean, it's kind of touchy. You can't really just go tell somebody to...
The league upping the ante today by trying to inform teams that if unvaccinated players create an outbreak, a team could be forced to forfeit. And if that happens, players from both teams will miss their game checks then.
You say game checks?
Yeah.
you just told me something new, but like I said, it's everyone's body.
What do you remember from seeing Dak in the hospital?
I remember going to see Dak in the hospital. He was out of it. But he was just like, feed me. When he saw me, and that made me, you know, I was sad, but that made me feel good. But there was never a doubt in my mind that he was going to bounce back from his injury. And I'm excited to see what he does this year.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Well, the Cowboys have been in Oxnard for about a week now, so it's time for another About Them Cowboys podcast via the illustrious Athletic Podcast Network. So RIP to a real one, Dusty Hill, hashtag pray for Simone, bring home the gold, and hashtag pray for Dak. Let's get that trending too, because Dak left today with a shoulder injury, but luckily we've got our own John Machota on the scene, on the beat, with the HBO Hard Knocks cameras capturing his every move to give us the nitty-gritty. So here they are, our panel from The Athletic, Father John Machota from The Athletic / The Ticket, Saad Youssef, and of course from the Mighty Eagle, Kevin KT Turner. Take it away, KT.
Well, thank you very much, Kent, and I hope you're having a great time out in California, John. I wish my day job allowed me to be out there with you, but I know Saad had a busy day with the Stars, and Kent runs, produces pretty much every podcast on The Athletic, so there's a lot going on for us back here on the home front. That's why we got you out there, Father John, and then here we are, not even a week into it, and Dak's already missed a practice. What in the world is going on out there, John?
Yeah, so he went through his normal routine to start practice, what they call their quarterback camp, and everything looked fine there. And then he broke off into doing the individual stuff they do with basically just doing working on handoffs and short passes to the running backs. And then they did some routes on air. And by that time, we're about, you know, half hour, 45 minutes into practice, and they're about to start doing their one-on-one stuff, where I'm really pumped for, because the pads are first. This is the first pad to practice since we've been out here. And we're going to get to see CeeDee Lamb go against Trayvon Diggs. Been waiting for it, you know, for a couple weeks now. And next thing I know, Dak's not the one throwing. And I'm kind of like, that's kind of weird. Like, was he just sitting this one out? Because it's just one of those things where, for example, I can't even think of a time that I saw one of the backups ever throw when it was Dez Bryant's turn in the rotation during any of these individuals. It's like, if Romo's going to be throwing, he's going to throw every time when Dez is out there, Terrence Williams, whatever. Well, it's the same with Dak. Like, if CeeDee is lined up in a one-on-one, he's throwing. Michael Gallup, if Amari was going, same deal. So when he didn't go there, I was like, that's kind of weird. And then I saw him start talking to Jim Maurer, who's the head athletic trainer. And I was like, oh, well, that's probably not the greatest of things. So, and I saw, you guys get me all right? It says my internet connection's unstable in my hotel room here. So, but anyway, just give me a thumbs up if I'm going out. But anyway, I look over and Jim Maurer's looking at Dak's right shoulder. And now we have this new social media policy for us while we're out here at training camp where we can't do any speculations on injury. So I'm like, well, I'm going to take a picture of Jim Maurer looking at holding his shoulder. So then it kind of like people can kind of put it two and two together that, hey, it's not ankle related, you know. But then even in the comments, there's some people that thought I was just trying to stir stuff up. So anyway, about 10, 15 minutes passes and Dak's still not jumping in with that group, but he seems to be in good spirits and, you know, walking around, hanging out behind that group. And then next thing you know, he goes and runs into the locker room. And then we didn't see him again for the final like 45 minutes of practice. And so that's when you're kind of like, this probably isn't the best thing right now. And we got an update from the team that he was just going to get his shoulder looked at and it was nothing serious or whatever. And then after practice, they said that we'd get an update, which we did get from the team. It was basically a statement from Dak saying that, it was a precautionary thing. I felt some soreness when making certain throws today, and I really just decided not to push things too far. Better to be cautious and smart about it. I don't see this as any kind of serious setback. We'll treat it on a daily basis, and I'll be fine. And then tonight, I didn't really leave right away like I normally would to come back to my hotel and write. I stayed there because I knew Dak was going to be doing interviews with the local TV stations. And so instead of every single individual TV station asking him at the very beginning, same question, how's your shoulder? They allowed them all to get him. And basically what Dak said is that he actually started feeling it a little bit yesterday in practice. It was just like a little bit of, he called it a little bit of shoulder soreness, a little bit of shoulder tightness. And I basically said that after that everything's fine. But my big thing on this is it's muscle related. And so he had an MRI on it. This isn't going to be something where like he's going to be right back to practice tomorrow. Like he's going to be missing some time. Like they're going to be very cautious with this. And that brings me to my last point before I throw back to you guys, is just that, you know, in watching Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci, like there's a significant drop off. I mean, I know there's some people out there. There's some people out there that think that, you know, Garrett Gilbert was like, ooh, this is a back and forth. I think it could either be him or Andy Dalton last year. No, Andy Dalton's better than Garrett Gilbert. I mean, I'm sorry. It just, he is. And so if you had Andy Dalton in there, I think it might have looked okay for a little bit or whatnot. Keep in mind, Michael Gallup hurt his ankle yesterday. Nothing serious, but he didn't practice today. Amari Cooper's not going to practice till I get back to Dallas. So you're basically got, with your first team, you got Schultz, Jarwin, CeeDee Lamb, Zeke, first team offensive line. So you have some weapons to work with, but nothing great there. And so I'm interested to see how these practices go, because even with Dak yesterday, he threw three interceptions. And then today, with those other guys working with the, you know, they all moved up a rung from the one, you know, working from twos to the ones, three to the twos, and that, five interceptions a day. So is that bad Doomsday quarterback
defense, baby?
Yeah, is that bad quarterback play, or is that good defense? So two interceptions now in the last 2 days from Maurice Kennedy. So I guess that's a positive sign there. He's looked really good these last 2 days.
DeMonte, Gary talked about Deion Sanders, right?
Right. DeMonte KZ had one yesterday. Really nice pick. Trayvon Diggs had one yesterday. And then today we also got one from Israel Mukuamu, and tip ball to Darian Thompson. And then the one that probably would excite fans the most, the nice little interception by Micah Parsons. So, you know, that's one thing. As bad as everything was defensively last year, if you had to find one bright spot on the defense from last year, it was that they took the ball away. I mean, they finished in the top seven in takeaways. And what we've seen in these last two training camp practices, that looks pretty good too. But as we all know, this team only goes as far as Dak Prescott can take it. And so obviously you don't want to see setbacks.
Now, a couple things. Saad, I'll go to you right here. So first of all, John, you're telling me it was not a Romo Wednesday for Dak. It's a little more than that. We're joking early on. We're just joking. The first quarter joke here on the podcast. Get it out of the way. B, Saad, you're the quarterback of the show. You've got a history of playing quarterback. Is that something that you do every once in a while? Maybe early in two-a-days, you lob up a few interceptions just to get the defense's confidence up, because you know that's the weak part of the football team?
No, I mean, obviously, like, you know, when you're – I think it's not concerning when it's Dak doing it, but – you know, when you look at the other guys doing it, it's obvious that, you know, there's a drop off there. But even when it is Dak, like, you know, those first few days are really rusty, whether it's, you know, guys that you're familiar with or not. You don't know what kind of, like, the offseason workouts are just different than once you get into team drills. This is stuff that, you know, we've heard from Dak in the past as well. I remember him talking about this a couple years ago when we were out there, and him just talking about needing a week or so to get back in a groove of things. So I wouldn't say it's like, you know, I'm joking. It's not the doomsday defense, but you know, I don't think it's any kind of concern for Dak or anything like that he's out there throwing a few picks on the first day.
John, I could be wrong, because it's been 2 years since I've been to camp, 2019, because there was no camp or in California last year. But, you know, I've spent 6-7 years going to training camp, watching, you know, as many practices as possible. And my memory tells me that the defense is usually ahead of the offense on the first couple of weeks. And again, I don't like making any type of conclusions at all based on where we're at right now in camp, because it's just not enough to really have a good feeling. There's a lot of unanswered questions. But am I wrong in saying that the defense is typically a little bit ahead of the offense at this portion of camp?
Not necessarily, but I have covered the Cowboys for the last 10 years, and the offense has pretty much always been better every year than the defense significantly. I mean, you can go and just look at the salary cap on each Cowboys team for the last 10 years, and the majority of the money is spent on offense. And so if you told me that during this training camp, it was Dak out there with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup, I don't think there's any interceptions. I really don't. But, you know, you got some other guys working there. You got some Cedric Wilson in there, Noah Brown, Malik Turner. Malik Turner's made some really nice plays, but also he's a guy that isn't out there all the time. And so, generally speaking, the defense can be a little bit ahead. But here's the other thing. Like, they don't have, even though they had pads on today, it was very, I don't know. I'll explain it. So I usually try and shoot as many videos as possible of interesting things that happen. Like, I posted maybe 2 non-DAC videos during this. The practice wasn't entertaining. Like, there was nothing that really stood out from it. I mean, other than the interceptions, obviously. So I don't know that it's just like this great defense, because here's the thing, even though the pads are on, like, they're not really running the football. Like, they're not really tackling to the ground. And that's the biggest issue with this defense. Like, I can see them picking off passes. They can pick off passes on Sunday. But if the opponent is running the ball down their throat, like we saw for the majority of the previous season, it's not going to, those interceptions all come when they're down 17. Like, it's not going to really matter that much. This is the biggest question mark. Can this defense stop the run? And can it do it consistently? Like, I believe they have the linebackers. I really believe they have the back end that they could probably do that. But it's the defensive tackle position. You know, is Neville Gallimore going to be a guy that you can count on 17 weeks? He's going to be shutting it down. Tristan Hill could be a guy that starts the season on pup. So then you need a guy like a Osa Odighizuwa to step up. Or you need like a Brent Urban or a Carlos Watkins. I mean, there's just a lot of question marks there for me to believe all of a sudden, like, they've turned a corner and they can stop the run. If they can stop the run, I do think they have the pieces on the back end that they can get turnovers and keep games in check.
I could be a little wrong here, but this is kind of what I think in a Mike McCarthy camp. And I think he talked about this the other day. Like, he's going to kind of slow burn and build this thing up. Like, I don't think you're going to see things be 100%. Very quickly. I mean, you're still going to see the team drills and things like that, but I'm just thinking about his history in Green Bay too. And Jason Garrett was pretty good about this as well, trying not to get guys hurt. They actually, it feels like, practiced a little harder probably. Still early in McCarthy's tenure to even know, but like, it feels like they did end up practicing hard towards the end of camp with Garrett and things like that, but they do a pretty good job of, you know, just trying to keep everyone healthy. I think McCarthy's the same way. McCarthy knows what it's like to keep people healthy, how important that is. So I really don't think we're going to see camp ramp up. So when you're talking about stopping the run, though, it's hard to have any really idea of how that's going to be. And I don't know if that's fair, you know, 10 days from now in the Hall of Fame game either, to be like, oh, this run defense, well, they might get ran over in the Hall of Fame game. But they're just not going to be at 100% there in terms of the effort they're giving and where they're at. It's going to be a slow burn. And I think part of that is McCarthy's philosophy. Part of it, I totally agree with, actually. Why get guys hurt in games that don't matter when they could get hurt in games that matter, when everyone's going to get hurt anyways, right? Like, if you're going to get hurt, do it in a real game. That's kind of where I'm at on that. But we also have an extra preseason game and things like that. And many, many, many questions to figure out on defense. And that's where I want to go now, to the acquisition of Malik Hooker. Signing him off the streets. On one hand, I go, okay, it was the number 15 pick of the 2017 draft. He was a top 5 player for me in that draft based on watching his tape from Ohio State. Injury questions, of course. Has not played in a ton of games in his 4-year NFL career. I was excited, though, and I have like a why not vibe about the signing. But the other thing that that brings me back down to earth if I try to get up in the air about this is, well, he was on the street for a reason. It looks like the Cowboys aren't the only team in the league with safety problems, right? So you know, no one else really wanted him either. So have you got to talk to Malik Hooker? What are your vibes on him through, you know, a couple days in camp?
So he said he had 7 or 8 teams interested in him. And okay. They were all basically, he didn't name them individually, but he basically said that they were kind of holding out to see where he was coming back from the Achilles injury. And so he had been in contact with the Cowboys most of this time, going back to when he met with them in March, which, you know, DeMonte KZ was in on that visit. And, you know, like myself and many others, we kind of figured it would be one or the other. And now they have both. And I mean, injury history or not, he was a top 15 pick. And he can certainly take the ball away. And he believes, from talking to him today, that he still has that in him. He just has to be able to stay healthy. He hasn't played football in almost a year now, going back to when he suffered that injury early in the season last year for the Colts. So the thing with the Cowboys safety position is that just there is not a lot of guys there where you're like, well, this position's locked up. How could you possibly make the team here? He hinted at this a little bit without saying it, and this was the takeaway I kind of just had in my own mind, is when he said those 7 or 8 teams, he's like, so when you break it down, you kind of look at rosters, you look at how you fit, things like that. I'm like, yeah, he probably looked at this roster and was like, yeah, I could play right away. You know, like, I know him and KZ are both free safeties, but if they end up being the two best safeties, they'll find ways to get them both out on the field. You know, it's not like there's just abundance of talent over here. I mean, I would say if a game was tomorrow, the starting safeties would be DeMonte KZ and Donovan Wilson, but I could see Malik Hooker working into that group. As long as if he's healthy, he'll get out on the field. I mean, they need playmakers. So it'll be interesting to see when he gets out there. He's been going through the COVID protocols. So he recently got the first COVID vaccine shot. So he's still waiting. You know, he has that, I think, was a 2-week period before you get your second one. And so, you know, we've seen him. I mean, he's obviously, you know, been wearing a mask and things like that because he hasn't been able to break in yet and start practicing. And to be honest with you, going back to not only the McCarthy thing, but just with him coming off that injury, I think they're going to be very cautious with him too. Like, they're not just going to be like, all right, you're eligible to play now. Cool. Throw in the pads. Let's go. Like, work in with the twos, you know, like, they're going to bring him along slowly too. So I wouldn't be surprised if we really didn't even see much out of him in the preseason games. And it's just kind of like, hey, let's see where this thing goes. But as everybody knows that's listening to this thing, if they can get anything from the safety position, that's obviously a huge bonus.
Yeah, and I think with Malik Hooker, though, the injury factor is big, but it's also, I think he actually has some potential to help the team. This isn't like a Ha Clinton Dix situation where, you know, you just bring a guy in based on name and you think that, at one point he was productive and had ability. Like, I do think if it wasn't for injury, he probably wouldn't even be available at this point of the offseason. So I think the injury, you know, bringing him along from that is probably a smart decision, but I do think there's actual potential for this to work out.
Now, and it continues to be a little bit of concentrated dart throwing at that position. We've talked many times on this podcast over the years about maybe not taking the safety position as seriously as maybe we would like, but I do like that there's some thought into it. Malik Hooker, we know what, you know, the traits are. We know what his college performance was. We know what his ceiling was 100%. With Kazee, obviously we know the history that he had with Dan Quinn. I'm always concerned about the Achilles. I think everyone's concerned about the Achilles, but I do like the concentrated, like, it feels like there's actually a plan there. And that's, at the end of the day, kind of all I want. Like, the players are going to end up proving the front office right or wrong. The players are the ones who are going to determine that. What's the plan? And we're not just like all over the map. There's a plan there. I've got a good relationship with Keanu Neal or Kazee. I know those guys. Bring him in. Malik Hooker's a guy we liked in 27. Bring him in. So I fully support that. And again, if your expectations are correct as a Cowboys fan for the defense, then you're not expecting to be a top 10 defense this year. So you're flying in a pretty good spot if you have your expectations in the right spot. So I'm a fan of what they've done defensively. I'm interested to see. I know it's early. Your thoughts on Kelvin Joseph so far through camp, John? Because to me, he's such a fascinating player. His tape was so up and down in Kentucky. And for him to be a second-round pick, you need him to play. And we kind of talked in the offseason about, I don't know if he'll start immediately. So what are your thoughts on what you've seen from him so far, with the disclaimer, of course, that it is very, very early?
Yeah, as of right now, I'd still say the starters are probably Trayvon Diggs, Anthony Brown, and Jordan Lewis. But Kelvin Joseph's been working with the twos, and I will say this, he reminds me in a little bit of the Trayvon Diggs from last year that we saw, in that he's very aggressive. So I can see him getting some calls against him, you know, some getting handsy, get some penalties called, things like that. But he seems to be a guy that is aggressive to the point where maybe he makes some plays on the ball. Now, we haven't seen him. He knocked away a pass the other day, but like, we haven't seen him get an interception yet. Whereas like Trayvon Diggs just seems like he's like a ball magnet. It just seems like he's in the right place at the right time quite a bit. But Joseph's been, he's been solid. I mean, he hasn't been a guy that really has jumped out at me, but then again, in watching the defense, I wouldn't say that there's just, you know, I mean, Randy Gregory has stood out. Micah Parsons has been impressive, doing an array of different things. I'll tell you one thing about that whole deal is, you know, we had talked about like, okay, how are they going to get all these linebackers on the field and that? And we have seen quite a bit where they have had three linebackers on the field. And when I say that, it's Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch is more your traditional linebackers. And then it's Micah Parsons down in the box. And then there's other times where they would have Micah Parsons and Leighton Vander Esch back, and then Jalen Smith down as a kind of an edge rusher. So I think that they're going to work with both of those guys to be an extra rusher. So that has been interesting to see, because we didn't see a bunch of that at OTAs and minicamp, and we've heard it talked about, but didn't actually see it. I still believe when it's all said and done, when camp's over, we're done with the preseason, I think that it's going to be Leighton Vander Esch and Micah Parsons are going to see, you're going to see the most playing time for them at the linebacker spot. But outside of them, I mean, Demonte Casey looks the part. I can see why he was a guy that had the 7 interceptions a couple years ago. And at corner, it's Trayvon Diggs for sure. I mean, he stands out all day long. Randy Gregory would probably stand out even more if he was going against Terrence Steele or Brandon Knight, basically the offensive tackles for the Cowboys last year. But Tyron Smith has been an animal out here. He looks very healthy. And it just, and here's the other thing, like when they practice, it's like 11 a.m. here, and the marine layer has to kind of burn off. And so like, I don't know, KT, if you remember that, like how the grass can kind of be a little wet and slippery. And that just isn't great for the Randy Gregory kind of trying to get blow by Tyron Smith. But I will say they've run multiple reverses with CeeDee Lamb to Randy Gregory's side. Huge mistake for that. Those plays have been blown up right away, because you can tell Randy Gregory's got that speed on the perimeter. So, you know, those are definitely some guys that stood out there. But yeah, I mean, I've been watching Kelvin Joseph a lot, and I do think that he's going to be a good corner. They're just, up to this point, it just seems like, you know, he's kind of feeling his way out in that. But he has shown signs where, like I said, you see that aggressiveness.
Saad, did you like the name of Airplane Mode?
I guess. Like, it runs kind of counterproductive, but, you know, I guess it makes sense.
Oh, if he's not in any segments of Hard Knocks, I'm going to be stunned, because he is not shy around the camera.
Yeah,
I hope he's a star. I cannot wait for Hard Knocks, dude. It's gonna be so fun.
Oh, I've already heard that they got some Micah Parsons playing chess scenes in there that they've really got the cameras out for. And that's the other thing, man. Like you know, you watch. Oh man, I don't care. I mean, who cares who's listening to this anyway? I'm just gonna say this.
No one's listening. It's
yeah,
just
I don't
us.
Care if you work
this
for Hard Knocks,
friends among friends.
Let's right, go. If you work for Hard Knocks and you're listening to this, sorry, I don't really care. They have so many people out here that in only 5 episodes, if they don't have good stuff, that's going to be incredible.
Oh, they're not risking it. Yeah.
I'm just saying there's so many people.
I heard somebody earlier say there's 40, I think there's 40 people there, 40 cameras or something like that.
Oh, I could totally see that. I mean, I'm just saying all I'm seeing is on the practice field and when they're miking guys up and they come out of the locker room. I don't even know what they have in the meeting rooms and stuff like that, or what they have like, you know, with the players back by their hotels and things like that. I'm talking about just on the practice field. You're just like,
drone.
Oh, there's no way that they're, drones, right. There's no way that like they could miss anything if something good happens, because there's just so many cameras, so many people working for Hard Knocks. And then they obviously have the best access. I mean, they're right by the field net. So I can't wait to watch. Great way to tease.
We're going to be talking about every episode of Hard Knocks here on the About Them Cowboys podcast.
You know, that first episode of Hard Knocks, I don't know if I like this or not. I kind of wish they weren't, but they're all going to the Hall of Fame game. I heard that the creator of Hard Knocks was on with Corby and Bob the other day. And she was talking about, I got off work and I was listening to the radio. How about that? And she was talking about how most of their staff was going to go to Ohio. She's like, it's a little different this year because we got a team with 4 preseason games. So the first episode, you're probably going to have you know, 15 minutes of content on the Hall of Fame game. So there, I kind of wish they didn't, because I just kind of want to see what's happening at camp and not worry about the spot national spotlight on the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. I kind of want to see the behind the scenes stuff. I want to see McCarthy rally up the troops.
How great is McCarthy going to be in this Hard Knocks thing? I cannot wait for some gold McCarthy.
Well, what about this? Like, if you watch the previous Hard Knocks with the Cowboys, there's always been a portion of it about the cheerleaders. So you got 15 minutes on the Hall of Fame game.
You're gonna have 15.
You got 15 minutes on the cheerleaders. There'll be 15 minutes on Rowdy. 15 minutes on. Okay. So we'll get down to, we'll have Chess in there, and then there'll probably be like three plays of Dak throwing a CD, and then Dak leaving the field to go get an MRI, and that's your first.
What do you think about this Chess thing, John? Because when I was out at camp, it was always Dez trying to dunk. You know, and Beasley and Dez playing one-on-one after practice. I was like, this is not safe. And we'd go out there at 2 a.m. and there'd be Jason Witten out there shooting baskets. I'm like, well, I don't know if this is great for athletes to be dunking. probably a more safe training camp activity.
Basketball is my favorite sport, so I would much rather see that. I don't care about chess. And I mean, it's Ben DiNucci against Micah Parsons on the chessboard. Like, how much time can you put out
Cowboys.com there? Cowboys.com needs to start Twitch streaming some of these chess matches. Amari versus Michael Parsons. I know they got a rivalry going.
I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to seeing it as much as anybody.
This is my fault. I never watched the Queen's Gambit, so I don't really care about these chess
matches. See, I like the Queen. I like Queen's Gambit a lot, but I still don't care about chess.
Oh, I'm a big chess guy.
I'm just looking for a new story. I feel like we've already done the chess thing, you know, with the Cowboys. Yeah. We had that thing a couple years ago. I feel like we've already covered that.
I agree.
Cheeto and all that stuff. So let's get something else.
I agree.
Which players, which players like to do paintball? Maybe these players are going to the beach and playing some
again.
Sand volleyball. You know, there's all kinds of stuff you could throw out there. On the offensive side, is Michael Gallup okay? I saw that he got hurt in what appeared to be one of the weirdest plays you'll ever see in the first week of training camp.
He looked like he stuck that landing. Clarence Hill was standing right there. Tim Collishaw, they could have helped. No, they would have got kicked in the face and probably had to go to the hospital. But that was wild. That happened down the fence line for me, so I didn't see quite the severity of it until the Cowboys website put out that video. And that was pretty nasty. But I will say, I was a little surprised when I saw, well, I guess I shouldn't say I was surprised that he had an ankle injury, because he did come right back in to the huddle, like whatever, in his normal rotation of plays. And they were working on Hail Marys, and he caught one of them. Like, unfortunately for him, Cedric Wilson kind of got in the way and knocked him out of bounds. But like, I mean, it was a 50-yard jump ball that he caught. And he seemed fine. And then, I mean, I practiced today. He was off to the side, but like, he wasn't like working on resistance cords or anything like that. It just looked like they were just like, hey, let's just be precautious and give you an extra day here or whatever. But he wasn't limping or anything like that. Like, he didn't show any signs of having any, you know, significant injury. And really watching Amari Cooper on the cords, like, I'm just kind of like, he looks really good. Like, he looks quick. Doesn't look like he's favoring his ankle at all. So I don't know if there's like a major concern there. The one guy, and this is just going off of, you know, what Mike McCarthy said, to really keep an eye on is Tristan Hill. Because when he said Tristan Hill was going to be on PUP, he said that he's probably the furthest away. And he goes, him and Mitch Hyatt. And the reason I bring that up is because Mitch Hyatt was just the guy moved to IR to put Malik Hooker on the 90. And that IR that Mitch Hyatt was just put on isn't like this IR where you come back week one. Like, it's the IR where you're out for the season. Like, Mitch Hyatt is IR'd for the entire season right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tristan Hill starts the season on PUP. And if that is the case, then you're going to need some Carlos Watkins. You're going to need some Quinton Bohanna, you know, Osa Digizua. You're going to need some of these guys to step up. And that's a lot of question marks for a position that just, it has to be better than last year. I mean, it was a disaster last year.
Yeah, I mean, Tristan Hill, too, being your, you know, second-round pick and all that stuff, you just needed to kind of work out. And just felt like he was making some progress last year outside from the dirty play that he had in the game that I forgot. Who were they playing?
Giants?
Or Seattle? He had a pretty dirty one on I want to say it was Chris Carson, maybe, on a tackle?
Yeah, Carson, yeah. But all that aside, it felt like he was making some strides to finally being a really solid, you know, every down player.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where you kind of go, oh, man, just kind of tough luck right there. I'd hate to write that off this early. So, yeah, hopefully he gets that fixed. The CD Lamb catch today. Good
Freak
Lord.
Show, man.
We should get ready for that. We should see a lot of that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he had the one along the sideline at Oklahoma that is probably the most retweeted highlight of his, and he even said on draft night that that was probably the best catch he's ever made, similar to today where it was like it technically didn't count because the foot was out of bounds, but it just that nasty type of one-handed catch. And then, obviously, he's wearing 88 for the Cowboys, so it reminds you a lot of some of the stuff you would see out here from Dez Bryant. But, yeah, man, CeeDee Lamb is the truth. I mean, I would say there hasn't been anything about him out here that hasn't been impressive. I mean, everything from, you know, him and his punt return work to route running to just how they're kind of moving around. Like, I thought with all those receivers healthy that he would probably stay in the slot for another year, but that doesn't appear to be the case. He's going to be moved around a lot, play a lot more on the outside. I mean, things are just lining up, especially if you get Dak back healthy pretty soon and they continue to build their rapport. I mean, I think there's a good chance that he ends up being the team's leading receiver. He just scratched the surface last year. I think there's a lot left to show from CeeDee Lamb. And the other thing about him, too, is just the way he goes about it. It just seems so effortless. Like, there was nothing like that catch today, the one-hander, nothing like herky-jerky about it. It just seemed like real smooth and just like, I'm just going to go throw one hand up. Now, I will say the pass was kind of lofted, so it allowed him to kind of get as opposed to just throwing a dart right at him. But yeah, if there's one player to really be excited about, it's CeeDee Lamb for sure.
I saw the via Blogging the Boys, I think they put this out there. Shout out to them. The over under for CeeDee this year was 6.7 touchdowns and 1,100 yards. What do you guys think about that? Over under?
Over on both.
Yeah, I'd go over. I say
easy over on the touchdowns.
Yeah, also remember you have an extra game. So
Yeah, it's true. Well, good point.
Yeah, he would have had over 1,000 last year in a 17-game season. So, yeah.
Yeah. Over on yards. Touchdowns, that's a little more random.
I think he'll be pretty active in the red zone in terms of his ability to leap and make plays.
If Dak's healthy the whole season, I think he's about 1,410 touchdowns.
Dang. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. I mean,
the only thing that could derail this, though,
throw some money down. Dak's healthy, let's go, John.
The only one thing that could derail this, and a lot of Cowboys fans I've seen on Twitter have been very vocal about this, is the little nervous about him returning punts. You know,
One more year. To me, one more year of that. And if you need to call off the dogs because of an ankle or anything that happens to you, you know, then call off the dogs. But like,
all right. Let me give you a scenario.
I'm going to use him for one more year. That
okay, one more year. But what if they said that Amari and Michael Gallup were going to be out for like the first three games of the season?
Well, yeah,
you of want course. That
2,000 yards?
No, but I'm saying, do you want him back there returning punts after that? No, I don't think I want him doing that anymore.
No, but if you can, I think you could still do it. You view it as a luxury, you know? I don't have to have a new Mercedes-Benz, but if I got a big bonus, and the bonus being 16 teams passing on CeeDee Lamb, then you know what? I'll go ahead and buy a Mercedes-Benz and not drive my Accord.
Because here's the other thing. Like, you got to remember the special teams coordinator. Like, I mean, if he's back there, you tell me CeeDee's returning all their punts this year with John Fossil. There's going to be at least a handful of them. There are some wild stuff where guys are throwing the ball back, and it's like really going to put you in some crazy position. I asked him the other day when we got to talk to John Fossil. I asked him about CeeDee returning punts, and he was like, "Yeah, we're really trying to open it up. We're trying to do even more stuff that like really kind of curtail towards like what his strengths are and stuff." And I'm just like, "Oh, they're going to be putting like some Cedric Wilson throwing it back to CeeDee, who throws it back to Cedric, who then throws it back to CeeDee." I mean, there's going to be some wild stuff here. So it's more than just that. Yeah, it's more than just return the punt or fair catch. It's like, hold on, something wild's about to go down here.
Someone needs to put John Fossil's face on the kid on Little Giants going, the annexation of Puerto Rico.
For sure.
Saad, did you see the comments that McCarthy had on? Oh, it was really not McCarthy's comments, quotes on the, it was a Charles Robinson podcast. Saad, did you happen to see the comments there where Charles Robinson's kind of talking about the Cowboys wanting to go back to really establishing the run game and being dominant? Did you see any of that stuff?
Yeah, and you know, I think when you have the, we just got done talking about CeeDee Lamb and this whole receiving core, and I think, you know, you can't force, we always talk about, do you fit players into a system or the system to the players? Man, you have players right now where if you go out and throw it 40 times a game, and if you're able to protect Dak for that much, I don't think you need to try to balance any kind of running game or just do it where it's needed. I don't personally see the need to establish a running game just to get the offense going. I think obviously the running game is much better if you're using it in the fourth quarter, because that means you're trying to run out the clock. So I don't know. Like, I feel like Mike McCarthy, you know, if you adapt to the personnel that you have, just use the guys like CeeDee Lamb, Mari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz. And that's the way that the offense should run. Not so much, you know, Zeke is always, every year training camp comes around, Zeke is in the best shape of his life, but you know, take that with a grain of salt, I think.
Yeah, so John, he was asked about that today. And so,
oh, he was? Okay.
And so I followed up with it because he didn't want to give us what the number is on the balance or whatever. So I was like, well, you're talking about number for a season or number for a game? And he's like, well, the number for the game. He didn't want to give it at first because he doesn't want us to like hold him to there, whatever. He's like, ideally, you want to be at 30 rushes every game. And he said that, but he said that there'll be games where like he thinks that they're going to run it 40 times. And yeah, that I get what he's saying, because he really, it was like Garrett again, like, emphasizing how they have to be complementary to the defense, because this isn't a defense that you're going to want to be putting out on the field for an extended period of time. Like, it just is not. There aren't enough playmakers there yet. You probably have to have another two drafts like they had just this past one of using significant picks on defense to make it to that level. But when he says it, I get that he wants to do that with this offensive line, you know, with Zeke look. I mean, and Zeke has looked good in this camp, just like he did in OTAs and minicamp. But with all that being said, it's just hard to believe that Mike McCarthy team is going to do that when we haven't really seen that from, I know it's because he's at Aaron Rodgers, but then even if you just go off those first five games with Dak last year, like nothing about that looked like it was going to be balanced. And maybe it's because of the defense was so bad that it was like, you got to catch up. But while he's giving that answer today, he also mentions how, but you know, this is a game where you got to score a lot of points. And so it's like, yeah, if you're sitting there and the other team is banging 14 quick points, and then you got to sit there and you're going to keep running the ball. Like, I mean, there were times when Jason Garrett did that. It's going to be tough to, you know, stick with it like that. And sometimes you have to establish the run like that. Like McCarthy said today, run the ball when everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run the ball. Got to be able to, you know, do that. But my thing is that's fine until you get punched in the mouth and you're down a couple scores. Then what do you do when you have weapons on the outside, all healthy, and they're all clicking? Like, it's going to be hard for you to sit there and be like, guys, we're going to throw it to you, but then slide and go down after 7 yards because we don't want to score too quick. It's like, you got all these weapons out there. You're going to hit fast on some of these drives. I mean, there's just too many weapons out there. So I just find it hard to believe that all of a sudden they're going to go back to the 2014 Cowboys, the 2016 Cowboys, you know, where it's like, we're going to be run first and then we'll pass off of that. It could, but I'll believe when I see it.
And in the end, this is a good thing, by the way, for all the people out there who thinks I hate Mike McCarthy. This is a good thing. But in the end, he is who he is. And he is a guy who understands that we need to score 30 points. Right. I mean, he was like that in Green Bay. He's not trying to win games 20-17 like Garrett would do from time to time. And that's a good thing to me. The biggest issue last year, we never really saw any – every situation was kind of a close game last year in the games that – count. I really don't count the games where Dak didn't play, but early in the season, my biggest issue, I have two things about Zeke that are huge. Number one, he cannot be a fumbler. I mean, he's got two seasons of his career of six fumbles. Like, dude, you can't be a fumbler. I'm sorry. That cannot happen. He knows that, but is anything going to get fixed? You know, knowing
well,
is
I
one
will
thing.
Say,
doing
I have
is
seen
the
him.
Other thing.
He has talked about, I wrote about this a week ago when we first got here and we talked to Zeke. He talked about how he's a guy that would just carry the ball mostly in his right hand, even if that's just how it was because he had broken his left wrist. And so that's how he was doing it at Ohio State. That's how he was doing it Emmett was, you know, same hand carrier as well. Yeah. There have been plays in this training camp where he has switched hands when he switched fields. Cool. So maybe that's one of the things he looks at.
And by the way, I think I said this on the last podcast as well. Asking Zeke to do that should not be an ask. Like, that is bare minimum for an NFL running back, let alone a $90 million running back. Like, that's not something that we should be progressively seeing. There's no negotiation on that.
Well, you can carry it with whatever hand you want at the NFL level if you're not fumbling.
Right.
Well, but if you're fumbling like that, you got to make adjustments.
A fumble should be shit happens. It should not be, oh God, he fumbled again. Oh God, don't fumble every time you get the ball, like that type of thing. And quite frankly, the fumbles set them back a couple times in the last 2 years and prevented them from getting off to good starts in their season. And that's part of the whole thing of like establishing the run early and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, you were never able to get ahead in any of these games. And if that's the objective, is to get ahead and then kind of show, well, you're never able to do that because every time you get to the running back, you had dropped the ball. Now, the other thing I would say, and I thought of this when you were talking about how he looked good in camp, Zeke looked great in games last year when he had had the week off before.
Right.
Whether it was due to injury or a bye week or whatever. Or a long week. He looked better in those games. So I'm still at a point with Zeke where I'm hopeful, but I got to see it to believe it, because what we saw out of him the last 2 years on an every week consistent basis was not enough.
Right. And that's the thing. He can be out here and he can look great, or OTAs or minicamp. But then that first week he gets 25 carries, and let's say it goes well. Let's say Zeke gets 25 carries, goes for 150 and 2 touchdowns. They beat Tampa Bay. But then the next week you're just like, ooh, he looks like he took a pounding. Like, and then he doesn't really get a chance to recover. And then the third week looks kind of the same, and the fourth week doesn't look great. And it just, that if that's the case, then you aren't going to be a team that's just running the ball 30 times a game. It's just not going to happen.
You know, and there's probably mechanisms in place to keep him fresh. One of those things being the double whammy of A, we're keeping Zeke fresh by giving the ball to Tony Pollard. B, we're getting Tony Pollard involved.
But when Mike McCarthy says, we also got to be able to run the football in those moments when everybody in the stadium knows we're running the football, to me, those are your third and ones, your fourth and ones. And I just do not see you having Ezekiel Elliott on your team and he's not getting it. And those are the poundings you take, because you're going up, up the middle. You're not kicking it to the outside to try and get some space, more of the type of stuff that maybe you'd want to use as a change of pace type thing with Tony Pollard. If you're running, when everybody in the stadium knows you're running, that's, you're running between the tackles and you're running with Ezekiel Elliott, and you're going to take a pounding doing that. So.
Yeah, and this is kind of where I go, and I'm not going into contract talk here, but like, the expectations for Zeke need to be big because his contract kicks in this year, right? And they're paying him like a top five running back in the league. And if it's a thing where it's like, well, we're really going to get Tony Pollard involved, hey, I want Tony Pollard getting involved too. I also need Zeke carrying the ball, you know, most of the time. And he will, but like, I'm talking, we don't need some like, oh, 12 carries for Zeke and 12 carries for Tony Pollard. Well, then why are we playing Zeke that much if we're just going to split carries? So like, you know, Zeke needs to have a big year. I think there's a chance he does. And I think the offense helps that, but you know, it's
what early. He said was really encouraging though, about how he felt like he let people down last year and stuff. And
yeah,
it's not just like he's coasting along and making money and living the NFL life. Sure. Like he wants to be good. I really believe that.
That's a good point, Kent, because he never really said much of that stuff last year when this was going on. And then he didn't talk during OTAs and he didn't talk during minicamp. And so I was kind of interested to hear how this was going to go. And I was a little surprised but I was impressed with how much ownership he did take of that. Made me think that like it's something he's really been thinking about over the last few months.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to get to, John? I'm kind of thinking about things. Got my notes.
What's the
up
latest
here
on vesselfinder.com?
Oh, yes.
I think still over by in Italy area. But Italy. I will say,
I thought it would have been over on the Ventura Harbor area, so they can cruise down the coastline.
And forgive me for not remembering. I want to say it was on the ticket, but they, you know, Jerry kind of did his all his radio interviews the other day with each of the stations that are out here. And I believe it was on the ticket with Dan and Jake. They asked him about the Bravo Eugenia and confirmed my beliefs on this whole thing. That's a Gene thing. That's not a Jerry thing. Jerry said that he doesn't even like being on
that's
that
why, yeah, more, that's why it's called a Bravo Eugenia. It's for her.
Uh-huh. He doesn't even like being on it for more than 3 days in a row. And he wants to get off it.
He said in that interview that if you told him that he couldn't get on it, then he just would never go on it at all.
Yeah, you said if you couldn't get off it. Yeah. If it meant like, okay, you get on this boat right here, you'll never get off it for the rest of your life. He said he'd never even get on it. So that's a Gene.
He loves his wife then, because according to some Instagrams of some grandchildren, they're on that thing quite a bunch, you know?
Right.
So
the vessel is en route to the port of Gulf in France.
Beautiful. Oh, wow. Just beautiful time of year.
Cannes Film Festival probably just wrapped up, so.
Yeah. West Mediterranean.
He always takes it to Monaco. That's the best. Just parking it at Monaco and just going to the Grand Prix. That's the life, man.
I was hanging out with some other media members the other day, and this topic came up, and I immediately pulled up Vessel Finder on my phone. And it was just funny to see like four or five people.
They're like, wait, what?
Going, why do you even know where this like website exists? I'm like, I don't have a look.
It was because in the draft, I wanted to know where he was during the draft and found the whole Vessel Finder.
You know what else is kind of wild about it, Kent, is that I've done some other research on there, and it's just wild how many yachts are out there. Just like,
and how many are bigger than Jerry's?
So you need to
find Jeff Bezos's yacht. You find find Jeff Bezos's new yacht on there. It's like disgustingly big.
Like if you just zoomed in on the coast of California, which is obviously a huge state, it is incredible how many little arrows are just up and down that coast of just yachts. Amazing.
Living the life. Well, hopefully they get a lot of Jerry content on Hard Knocks. That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'd say at players, I'm leaning heavily towards, you know, Boss Man Fat, Kelvin Joseph, Micah Parsons, certainly John Fossil, I think, will be a big part of it because he does more than just special teams. He runs a lot of team drill stuff. And so I think there's going to be behind the scenes team stuff with him. Dak and Zeke.
DeMarcus Lawrence is great. I bet he'll be on there a lot.
You got to have Mike McCarthy in there just because they always have head coaches in there. And I do think he has like a really dry, like wit, like sense of humor to him where he'll crack jokes and stuff like that. And I think that'll make for good TV. You know, Gallup flipping over that fence. I'm sure that they'll, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, the behind the scenes, like, you know, they always go with some undrafted guys into their like hotel rooms and, you know, have meetings and things like that where they call their parents and tell them how training camp's going. So there'll be stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm interested to see like any team bonding type things, go to the beach, stuff like that, see what they get out of that.
John, if I can real quick, bring a off the air question to you on the show. Like we talked about all these players, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Zeke, all that stuff. Is Tony Pollard just kind of getting lost in the shuffle there? Is there a lot? There was so much talk about all that he can do. What have you kind of seen in that direction out there so far?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, you know, I try and write players that stood out and post videos, and a lot of times ends up being the same players. But on that note, I would say, like, there's nothing about Tony Pollard that looks bad. It just there hasn't been a lot of things that have really stood out that have caught my eye. And in that same subject, that same territory, I would say that about Jabril Cox. I just thought that there'd be some stuff about, you know, maybe Jabril Cox that stood out a little bit. And I haven't really noticed him because he's another one. Like both those guys, I feel are kind of like fan favorites. And I just haven't seen much from either one of those where like a Semi Fehoku or a Malik Turner, they're like Noah Brown even one day, like you're not really looking for those guys, but they'll do something where you're like, oh dang, did you see that right there? I haven't been watching as much of the defensive line just because I've been watching more of the offense, so I can't really tell you about like an Oso Digizua, you know, man rush type thing, because when they're doing those individuals, so is the offense doing theirs. And I've been watching a lot more of, you know, CD and stuff like that. I need to get back over to defensive line a lot more. I'm trying to think if there's somebody else that I hear from along the Tony Pollard lines that people want to know about that really haven't? That would probably be it. Another thing that's kind of interesting about this camp too is that with Greg Zuerlein out, like, we don't really see any like field goal kicking. You know, that was one of those things we would chart, like, you know, what Dan Bailey was for the day, or, you know, whatever. Like, and there hasn't been any of that. So they're, you know, special teams have mostly been just punt returns off the jugs machine and stuff like that. So nothing crazy there. If they do kick field goals, Hunter Nicewinder is going to do it. And obviously he's a punter. A lot of the guys that have stood out are the guys that you'd expect, you know.
And who's somebody that stood out that we don't even know who they are right now? That's not a starter, you know. That's this guy's going to make the team. Watch out for him.
Oh, to make the team, I don't know, because I don't think Malik Turner is going to make the team just because they're.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard his name before, and you brought him up.
No. But he's been solid, not just in some of the catches he made, but just the trust that Dak's had in him.
Nice.
When he has worked with Dak. This guy isn't, you know, off the radar. It's a guy that you guys are going to know, but Dalton Schultz is going to build off that season last year. That wasn't a one-year fluke.
I've seen a lot of clips of him, man. He looks good. He looks good.
He does. And Blake Jarwin does too. You can tell they're kind of bringing him back, and that Blake Jarwin will certainly be a factor coming off that ACL net. But Dalton Schultz is for real. And this is a contract year for him. He's going to make himself some good money this year. And, you know, we got a chance to talk to him today, and, you know, he went to that tight end, I believe they call it like tight end university, whatever it was, and all that like that. You're talking about, it's like picking up tips and stuff off of being around all those tight ends for that week or weekend, whatever it was.
Oh, I bet that was great for him. Yeah.
Yeah. And him and every practice really that I've noticed, it's him and Jarwin end it. Like, they're the last two out on the field on the jugs machine, always together. Like, they're in really good shape there with those two. It's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing, because going back to the Mike McCarthy thing, if you are trying to run it more often, you certainly would have to be in more 12 personnel. So if both of those guys are healthy all season, you can line up in some 12 personnel and then throw out of it. And really, you know, there was a coverage bus doing some stuff like that the other day with Dalton Schultz, where he just is running down the seam. And he's made nice contested catches too, but yeah, for sure. And he's definitely stood out. And then you just have seen him get more opportunities because you don't have Amari Cooper out there. And Gallup, like I said, got hurt yesterday, so you don't see him out there today. But yeah, Schultz seems like he's for real.
Want to trade for Xavien Howard or what?
I don't. I really don't. I would like see what you got in Kelvin Joseph. Keep building the defense with young guys. I'm not trying to spend any money like that way, you know. I'm trying to in a perfect world, I would have next year's draft look a lot like this past year's, where you're just adding more weapons to your defense. And then your hope is that you're building with what Dan Quinn has. Like, he establishes a foundation this year, and then you got a defensive coordinator that's back another year, and you keep building and keep building and keep building off of that, as opposed to, yeah, this kind of didn't work because he didn't have any playmakers. Let's go get another defensive coordinator. Like, I think building with him and what he's looking for, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, heck, maybe you end up finding like a diamond in the rough pass rusher that, you know, is your next DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, or something like that. But I would keep building this defense through the draft. I mean, what's Howard going to cost? It's the thing. Like, he wants to leave. He doesn't want to leave just because I don't like being on this team anymore. He wants to leave because he wants to get paid. Be honest with you, if I'm going to be paying for a corner, I'm saving that money to decide for Trayvon Diggs. I don't want him leaving.
Do you think he sees what Byron's getting paid and it's like, I'm better than that guy? They're not going to pay me that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a factor in that statement that he put out. I saw the other day. He said that, you know, I'm not even the highest paid corner on the team. Obviously, you know, Byron is. So yeah,
it's
so
like,
it probably is to a certain extent. But he wants to be one of the highest paid corners in the league, which is fine. I mean, he's one of the best corners in the league. But if you're the Cowboys, I don't know. Like I said, I'm trying to pay Trayvon Diggs. I'm trying to keep him around. You know,
right?
More so than, you know, adding a guy like that. If they felt like that was the only thing that was missing, it might be a little bit different, but they need D tackle help. You know, they need defensive line help. And I'm not talking just this season. I'm talking for the next 5-10 years, like, spend the money there.
And they need their quarterback to make sure that he's not, you know, seriously injured too. I'd like for that to go away.
Yeah.
I don't think it's serious, but it's one of those things where I think it's going to keep him out of practices there. And that could alarm some, but. They called it a muscle. They called it a muscle strain. A muscle is generally not something. It's not a joint. You know, it's not. It's not like a bone that's got fractures in it and things like that. You know,
I'm wondering if he had that thing insured. If he probably does now. If he hasn't already.
I think it's because
I've been a Rangers fan for too long. Like any arm injury, I'm like, oh shoulder. God, he blew his arm out.
Throwing arm. Yeah, that's
it. They've got to take a rotator cuff out to make his shoulder work.
No, true, true. There's reason. There's obviously any sport, you know, stuff like that. I think that you're just, you got a little bit of that Tony Romo.
Oh, no, let's not jinx this. Let's not.
Always something with
the
back.
Let's not jinx this, dude. This is just training camp. Dak could not go down in training camp for longer than a day. If it does, and then oh, no, this cannot happen.
What do you mean longer than a day?
He can't be hurt, legitimately hurt. I know they're going to ease him in and hold him out of practice and stuff, but like he can't be legitimately hurt in training camp. If he's, we're not even into the season, and this is already being talked about. No, we don't need this bad juju right now.
Yeah, I would say the reason would be to be concerned if it, they said it was some type of like a something joint related. I think that's when you get into like the pitching type stuff like that. But when it's a muscle type thing like that, that's generally not the same thing. I mean, right. I'm not a doctor, but
it is wild how many pitching injuries you see. Like so many, it's an epidemic in baseball.
Yeah,
and football players just don't have that. And I realize the motion's different, but it is, you don't see a lot of that arm injury stuff with quarterbacks. In fact, you never see it.
Yeah, yeah. But so, the motion and the speed, it's like the jerkiness of the shoulder, you know, it's just completely different. Like I played some pitcher in high school, and it's actually like, it's funny because a lot of times people will say like, if you play quarterback, you should also like play pitcher. And that's really not good for you in either sport. Like if you're a pitcher, it doesn't really translate that well to being a quarterback, or vice versa. Like I had to switch to play catcher in the middle of the season just because it was so bad for my overall like throwing form. So
didn't it mess up Jameis Winston?
Yeah. Something? Yep.
Didn't, yeah.
Yep.
In college, like he had to, yeah, it was something with that. I remember.
I would say that the thing with Dak, and this is only speculating, but I would think that it's more along the lines of he gets hurt last year, finally gets healthy. And when he gets healthy, he's probably been working out a ton. And he's probably been throwing a lot more this offseason than he's thrown any other offseason. So that's probably why you get some muscle soreness, is because you're not only, you know, throwing right now, but you're throwing a lot in between then too. And so they probably just need to take it down a notch and where he isn't throwing as much and to kind of like, you know, relax a little bit. They don't need him right now. They need him.
Breaking news. Kevin Turner just said in the chat, the Nooch is better than Tony Romo.
Oh, well, clearly you haven't watched any of these practices out here.
Sorry.
The next Tony Romo, is that what you meant? Better than Tony Romo and at that stage in his career? Was that what you were implying?
No, I was just having fun.
Hey, one NFL note I wanted to hit on that kind of ties into the show. John, I know you I know you don't care about uniform numbers, uniforms, things like that. By the way, the Cowboys throwbacks are going to make an appearance or come back next year. Apparently they can start wearing those again. So exciting times, but did you see Mac Jones wearing number 50? What was that about?
I think that's a Bill Belichick thing that he's,
yeah, that's what I, know, that's what I thought, but my, why ask that? What's your thought on quarterbacks wearing weird numbers? Like, you know, Michigan quarterback wearing 98, stuff like that. What's your hot take there?
I can't stand it. I can't.
Okay, there.
It,
yeah, man. I know we'd have thoughts.
Every other position, like I'm pretty liberal on, but with quarterback, I just absolutely can't stand it. Like it, like for me, even odd numbers, like 19, it's kind of weird. Like you just don't see a lot of quarterback 19s walking around. For me, like I'm pretty traditional in the 7, 12, 8, 4. You know, like I don't know. Like I just when this whole conversation came up about Jalen wearing 9 and stuff. Like, I don't have a problem with any of that, but I can't stand when quarterbacks wear these unconventional numbers.
Yeah, I would prefer that they wear not only single digits, but 3 through 9, I think, is what a quarterback should be. I even think it's kind of rare when they wear 1, to be honest with you.
Yeah, or, but see, or 12, two. Is just, 12 has just become the iconic number for, I feel like that is the quarterback number from Staubach, Rodgers, Bradshaw, Brady, like all the way down. Like it's just Andrew Luck. It, like, you know, like I feel like that's just kind of become the number, but I'm with you. Like I like the single digits better too overall though.
I hate the number thing that's happened, and I'm all about players being empowered and having more rights. I think they should be able to wear cool cleats whenever they want, things like that. But I'm too organized of a person. I hate the number changes that have happened. I hate that Jalen Smith's going to be wearing 9. I hate it.
There were people campaigning Dak to change to 15 this offseason. That's insane. No, Dak's 4.
That's crazy. And Dak I also hate the 17-game schedule, and I'm a guy who likes an extra Sunday of staying on my couch. But I just – there are going to be teams that are 8-9 or 9-8, and it just doesn't look right.
Yeah. How do you feel? So how are you going to feel about 18 and then 19 and then 20?
We're not going that far.
What?
You think they're going to do 20 games?
They'll be at 20 games in the next 10 years.
These guys are not going to have any heads.
I think they'll be at like 18 or 19. I don't know about 20. That's 3 games, and they have to add one every other year, basically.
Yeah, they'll basically every year they'll get that. It won't be every year, but it'll gradually they'll get every other. There will be no preseason
to get to a 10.
Don't need to have preseason in my mind.
That's what I'm saying.
Cancel like, preseason.
They're professionals for a reason, right? They're professionals for a reason.
College, I don't
see
college
football players. Yeah, I don't see high school players having preseason.
There you go.
They don't need preseason. Oh,
what's coming up this next week at camp, though, John? What they got a scrimmage? Anything coming up?
Yeah, I mean, but who cares to watch it if Dak isn't practicing? No,
Oh no!
When's Matt Stafford rolling into town and the Rams and all that?
Yeah, so now that's more than a week away. But
got it.
The big thing about this is that they're going to be in full pads more now. You know, they had to ramp up, so hopefully we get to see Malik Hooker in pads. You know, and seeing what he's able to do. On the back end. And then the other thing is just to see what you got in Garrett Gilbert, because this could be a good time to find out, like, can this be your guy's backup, or do you need to go out and make a move to get a backup quarterback just to be sure? Or do you think he can run the offense and do everything that's asked of you? So there's going to be a lot of eyes on Garrett Gilbert during the next few practices as well. Because defensively, DeMarcus Lawrence ain't coming back until they get back to Dallas. Amari Cooper's not coming back until they get back to Dallas. So I would say, it's about the rookies, you know, more Micah Parsons, more Kelvin Joseph, seeing where they're at. The other thing for me is, like, can the defense keep up what they've done these last two practices? 8 interceptions in the last two practices. Like, is this just 2 lucky days for them? I mean, or are they going to continue to build on this? So those are some of the things. But yeah, that Rams practice, that's not for another week. But that'll be obviously interesting to watch. It would have been nice if Cam Akers was healthy to see what they would kind of do maybe against their run game and stuff like that. But, you know, this is going to be our first time out here with a Mike McCarthy team. So I'm interested. There was always with Jason Garrett, there would be this one day out there where you just knew that they were going to really, you know, full pads, and they were going to do a lot of like run zone running, like real, you know, as Jason Garrett would say, bone on bone hitting. And I'm wondering if Mike McCarthy's going to do that, you know, coming off the injuries they've had last year, just the way he's structured these practices, things like that. Now, obviously having the Dak injury, will he continue to do stuff like that, or will we not really see that? So, I mean, there's not going to be any shortage of material here. So, the biggest difference is that these should all be padded, I mean, for the most part. So that'll be interesting.
All right. Well, we'll come back next week with more stuff from Father John Machota live in Oxnard, California.
Oxnard.
Make sure you stay the Nard. Make sure that you stay tuned into The Athletic, because there's all kinds of local sports crap happening. Like, Sod had a busy day with the Dallas Stars, who signed about 15 players. And then the Rangers, even though it's not official at the time we recorded this, have traded Joey Gallo. So I know Levi's going to have great stuff there. So make sure you stay locked in to The Athletic. We will be back next week, or if anything emergency happens, we'll be here for an emergency pod. For Father John Machota, for Saad Youssef, for our producer Ken Garrison, I'm KT. See you next time on About Them Cowboys.
You say game check?